Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show here at KWAI. Thanks for joining us, and happy Mother's Day to all of you good people out there. Today, I'm going to try and take up on some follow-up on some information and a subject matter that we had last week, and also talk about the circumstances involving imported fish, fish that has been contaminated with salmonella, fish that is treated with carbon monoxide. And as I go on, I want to make clear that the fish that I'm really focusing on about in discussing the salmonella, or I'll call it sick fish on occasion, this is imported fish, not the local fish, not the from the longliners here. FDA scrutinized those vessels quite heavily. They have a regime of HACCP that they have to go through. So this particular subject matter hinges on the imported fish, and we have some very serious issues going on with that. Now, some of you may have seen on TV that some of the news stories, we actually filed, or I actually filed, a lawsuit against Don Quixote grocery stores, we'll call it. And basically, that was about adulteration, using carbon monoxide to change or retard the darkening of tuna and other fish. In some instances, the fish is being sold as fresh. Some instances, they declare that it is treated with carbon monoxide, but then they then put it's fresh. So how could that be possible? So the allegations we're making and the claim that we brought was that they advertise for selling of adulterated foods. And actually a situation at Don Quixote's, for example, and other stores here, opaca-paca is being sold at a pretty handsome price. But the fish itself is actually, it states, Indonesian fish. It's actually imported from Indonesia. And so what happens then is that the price is pretty substantial. And when you take the fish here in Hawaii, the local fish, opaca-paca, you're paying about an average somewhere between, I'll say, $10 a pound. That I could be off for a dollar or so. But this other fish comes in, and I've actually tried to have it identified, the fish that we purchased from Don Quixote and a couple other markets where they claim it's opaca-paca. Both come from Indonesia, as the label states, but the problem is it is in such a condition that you can't even actually determine the species per se, because the conditions of the fish is in such a manner that it's not fresh. So some of the rays, which you use the spinal rays to count, you can't even see that. So it makes it difficult. So that brings on another set of questions and problems. What is that doing to our local industry? Is it tainting the local industry? Is it causing a problem? Now, as I said last week, we see our airlines and other companies going out of business. Now, I'm not advocating a promoting fish business. It's just I'm taking a look at it and saying, if we're concerned about business here in the state of Hawaii, why aren't we managing it and protecting it and preserving the integrity of the quality of the fish or whatever? Why is it that what we're finding is fish in great tonnage is being imported from Indonesia, Philippines, Palau, Malaysia, and other places, Vietnam, and the local fishermen are having to compete with that? So what are they doing? The local fishermen are at the mercy of our legislators. When a company can bring in fish and proclaim it opaca-paca from Indonesia, you have to ask yourself, or wonder, what is going on? how could it be that in Indonesia you're using a word such as opaka-paka? Someone on this side had to inform the people shipping it from Indonesia to call it opaka-paka, or someone on this side had to put it in writing, and it brings on a problem. So why are they allowed to use the word opaka-paka? It's deceptive, in my opinion, and that is what caused me to bring, as one of the reasons it caused me to bring the lawsuit. I see we have a call here from Jane. Jane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Well, good. I see you called us, and I'm glad you did. And what can you help us with on this subject? You have any input, or what particular part of our discussion that you found interest and caused you to motivate you to give us a call?
Well, I'm the grocery shopper in our family, and I go to all the different stores, and I look at the fish counter, and I see a choice of products. And when I look at the ahi and it's labeled gas fish, you know, with the red color, I mean, how safe is that product? I don't want a product that's doctored up to make me think, you know, it's not as fresh as it is. And, you know, some of the labels, they say fresh, frozen. What, you know, what is fresh? And when was it frozen? Mm-hmm. To me, frozen is frozen. So there's a lot of concern that I have with imports from other countries. How do I know what kind of fishing practices that foreign fleet uses? So I know the local guys, they have all kinds of rules and regulations, you know, not only for health concern, but environmental law too, yeah?
Yeah, what particular rules do you are you thinking about?
Well, I know a while back you were talking about finning sharks. I know the local guys don't do that, but do the foreign fishermen do that? And the local guys have, like, observers who go out on the boat. Who polices the foreign fleets? How do we know what kind of health practices they have?
And, you know, you talk about this gas. You as a shopper, what do you normally look for when you buy fish? What do you rely on?
Well, I like to try and find the freshest fish I can. You know, you look for something that smells good, and if it has, I rely on the color. If it's brown, I know it's not as fresh as maybe some of the red stuff. But if it's been, you know, doctored up, how can you tell?
I see. So color is a key element in aiding you in deciding what is fresh.
Sure.
I see. You're familiar with poke, right?
Right, right.
Do you eat that poke?
Yeah, I do. I do. You know, sometimes I wonder which of this product goes into that. I try and I ask the guys whether they're using the local fish for that or whether they're using the imported. I try not to buy the imported fish. I want to support the local fleet.
I see. And do you think, and as a shopper, when you see this fish that has been imported and smoked, could you help me out on understanding prices? Do you find a difference in price? Do you find an obvious quality difference in the shopping when you shop?
Well, sometimes it's, you know, all over the board. But usually if it's really cheap, I think, well, it's probably imported. You know, the local fish, I expect to pay more because I expect it to be, you know, a fresher product and taken better care of. And, you know, I've been to the auction house down on Pier 38, and it's such a beautiful new state-of-the-art building, yeah? Mm-hmm. Hawaii spent a lot of money on making sure that the local product is handled correctly, and I really don't think the foreign imported fish is handled with such care. And, you know, I don't know, there's a reason why it's usually cheaper.
Well, you know, you may have heard me earlier talking that I filed a suit and looking at the deceptive practices and adulteration that this imported fish is being presented to us and under those conditions. I bought a fish yesterday, what was presented as opaca-paca.
Right? Yeah.
Now, this is just preliminary, but I actually had someone who has the expertise just yesterday to take a preliminary look at it. And then their decision so far is that this species not anywhere near the species that we find here and in the as a opaca-paca. And I paid for a 1.4-pound fish, $7.06. So, and if you look at that fish, I've actually seen people throw fish away in that condition. They wouldn't use it for bait because it would be so soft and so difficult. It wouldn't even hold a hook.
Right.
Or couldn't be trolled with. So I did keep it for, you know, for show and tell, but I'm simply amazed that you could ask for $7.06 or $6.52 for 0.96 ounces of...
of questionable, questionable, what, you know, what is it you got, what are you eating?
Right, and you said something about you smelling it and you're looking at it for color. Now, I'm noticing something. A lot of this fish that is imported is in blister packs or in plastics.
Right. You can't get at it. You can't smell it to see or you know.
Yeah, and so what if it was packaged in unsanitary conditions or whatever?
That's it with the foreign product. You really don't know what you're getting, where it came from, who handled it, whether it was taken care of from the boat to the processing plant, what they did to it. I just really am leery about products like that. I think people are getting sick off of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that in some instances, the boats here, their prices fluctuate.
Supply and demand, yeah.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't know, but I'm out hoping someone out there, maybe you might know. How does this overall activity of importing and the volume of fish being imported, you as a buyer, you believe that if our government, local government here and the federal government would take a role in making sure that if the local fishermen have such stringent and strict rules, that they would place the same conditions and ensure that the fish isn't commingled on the market or impacting the fish? What would you do as a taxpayer, as a shopper or consumer?
Well, usually I would hope that the government is keeping an eye on what the foreign importers are doing. I don't know if that's even possible or not. As a shopper, I try and buy as many local products as I can because I know that the United States has better laws and people keeping an eye, watching what's going on. I would hope that there are agencies that, you know, can go and make sure that the imported fish is at least labeled so you can make a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Again, I'm asking anybody out there that is familiar with the fishing industry here, the local. I mean, if you've lived here a while, you would know. You've heard different things. But, you know, there's been closures, for example, and I understand there's closures out there that they're proposing or in place.
Yeah, like marine sanctuaries for bycatch and stuff.
Yeah, so
I know the local guys have observers that go out on the boat to make sure that they, you know, are complying with the federal and local rules and regulations, but I don't think any of the foreign fleet have that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we know government agencies are responsible? You as a customer, is there any way in it possible or remotely that you believe that the stores or the grocery stores or some of the distributors share a burden in preventing this bad fish from coming in and introducing it to the market?
Well, sure, yeah. You've got chain all the way down from, you know, the buyers, the grocery store, the people that do the purchasing for the grocery store, and the ones that actually probably import the fish, and all down the line, they should be really concerned about what is impacting the local market and all the local laws that we have to deal with.
Now, as again, as a consumer and housewife, what do you think of your take on the government here? Do you believe that they being the Department of Health and the United States Food and Drug Administration, do you believe they have given you sufficient information, let's say being specific about the salmonella illnesses that were associated with eating poke and sashimi that was imported?
Well, you get a little bit of information through local newscasts, but usually where I get my information is on internet talk radio shows like yours and, you know, just doing my own research, trying to find out what's going on with the food that I buy.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been down to the auction block here?
Oh, yeah. I've been to the new auction house down on 38. You know, it's beautiful, and the fish are well cared for, and but like you say, the price is really dependent on how much other product I think is on the market, and price goes up and down. And I'm hoping the local fishermen, you know, get their money's worth out of their product.
I see. Well, what I was thinking is you as a customer and others. I wish people could go down and see the auction block. And again, out there, I'm not advocating for the auction block or anyone else, but I have been personally able to visit Palau, for example, and you look at the vessels there, and I'm going to be posting photos as well depicting the conditions at these fish houses. One down in Palau, for example, fish are laying in filth on the dirt. They remove the head and they remove the entrails, and this fish is just stacked on pallets. I should say remnants of wooden pallets, and you'd be appalled. But believe it or not, that fish will be destined, or is destined, for Hawaii. And
well, you know, the ones that actually do the importing of fish like that, are they United States citizens, or are they, you know, is their company foreign?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. What I've been able to document here lately is that there's a company called Luentai, L-U-E-N-T-H-A-I. And some of our listeners out there may know Luentai from other situations, the sweatshops in Saipan, or the Luentai, more specifically the Tan family, Willie Tan and his brothers. In fact, we're going to talk a little politics, but not talk about politics. I don't know if that's possible, but Jack Abramoff, for example, the lobbyist who went to jail.
Right.
And Congressman Neil Abercrombie, if you recall, he hurriedly gave money back that he had gotten from Abramoff, and I applaud him for that. But Hillary Clinton received $10,000 from Luentai or Willie Tan family and won't give it back.
It's a very large company.
And these are the same people that own Skechers shoes, but they boast, and you can go to the website, Luentai. They boast 170 boats, longliners, and purse seiners. They're operating out of Majuro, on the Majuro Fishing Ventures. And that fish is destined for Hawaii. And the proof of that is, if you I don't know if you saw the news about the newspaper about a week and a half ago on a Friday. I don't know the exact date.
Right, had the picture of the fish.
Yeah, there was a picture of Aloha Airlines cargo worker celebrating the continuation of the carrier of the keeping their jobs. And the bottom photo, sitting on the tarmac, was a photo of cartons of fish stamped Luentai. And Luentai, and on that it said Big Eye Tuna. How can the local fishermen compete with that? How can tuna be shipped in and sold at a cheaper price. Now, remember the price of gas and all of that. How is it possible that you can ship in gas? Ship in fish. Yeah, ship in fish with the cost and the air cargo cost and get it here, distribute it, and still sell it some 20 to 30% and sometimes 50 to 45%.
Well, they must be cutting corners in ways that we don't know.
Right. So what happened? Now, this is a foreign company, and you can go to Consumer Affairs or the state website and type in NORPAC fisheries, and you will see that Luentai, to get into this market, bought into or partnered up with NORPAC or TJ Kraft or HJKCC or something of that nature. Well, I really appreciate you calling in, and if you have anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, I just want to thank you for bringing all this to our attention, because I think, you know, it's very important what you put into your body, and it would be really nice to know where it came from and how it was handled, and anyhow. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Jane, and do call again if you have anything you'd like to share with us, and I appreciate your time. And
okay.
happy Mother's Day.
Thank you to you.
All right.
Yeah, bye-bye.
We're going to take a little brief break here and regroup, and I really enjoyed talking to Jane. I hope that that was informative for you. It was to me. And I'm just thankful that there is someone out there willing to listen and share their opinions in Manaus.
Help the environment while saving money on your electric bill. If you plan to buy one of the new high-efficiency central AC units, make sure the outdoor and indoor components are certified to work together. The Air Conditioning and Refrigeration Institute, which certifies the performance of AC units, can help you do that. Visit ARI.org and simply plug in the model number of the outdoor unit to give you a list of matching indoor coils, and you can print out a certificate to help qualify for any available utility rebate. Make sure you're saving energy, money, and keeping cool. Brought to you by ARI. Okay.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep 7, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep 7 fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit!
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. If you want to download previous shows, you can go to carolcox.com. That's CARROLLCOX.com. And we also have a blog. If you are interested, please feel free to share your opinions and share your comments. And they don't all have to be agreeable, but we want to see and hear everything. How many of you out there know or are ever interested in what is the largest fish caught in the state of Hawaii? What is the next tournament? What is the how do I contact a charter boat? Well, you could actually find all of that right at your fingertips by going to HawaiiFishingNews.com. And in that, you can find state records. What's the largest uku? What's the largest marlin that has been caught? You can also find almanacs, tidal charts, and on. But most importantly is that this is the voice of the fisherman. And I use that term fisherman loosely. It is also the voice for the future fishermen, and it also advocates for the environment and tries to strike a balance between and cover issues. And anyone, whether you agree, disagree, you can go there and provide an article or write or photographs or whatever to the Hawaii Fishing News. And you can also contact them by email at fishnews@hawaii.rr.com. Well, what we're going to do is move on and talk about a few things that we're looking at. Most of the times, the state usually tells you about, state health department tells you about everything that's going on and all the good things they want you to know about. Now, it's my intention to have the State Department of Health and the Department of United States Food and Drug Administration to come in and share their opinion or statements or insight. But we're having a difficult time. Some now, nearly 5 months, we've written, requested information from them, just simply no success in response. But I did get one from the state, and I'd like to share that with the public, with the listeners out there. I requested some questions from the Department of Health, and let me show you, share with you just what it is you have to go through. And keep in mind, they have not, on their own, as a responsible agency, either agency, the FDA or the DOH, come out and share it with the public voluntarily. One, where the fish was sold, the sick fish, who got sick, you don't need to tell us the names, specific locations, what stores. Here's what we did get back. So after asking the Department of Health to prepare to come in and talk with us, listen at this. This is their response. First of all, to fulfill your request for an interview on your show, I need some background information. Can you provide answers to the following questions? What is the title and format of your show? When does it air? Is it a radio, TV, webcast production? Who is the target audience, and what is the estimated viewership? When does the show air? Date, day, time. Are other episodes of the show available for viewing on TV, radio, or web, and when? Can you provide the channels, day, time, or URL for viewing? What is the date you are requesting someone to participate? What is the time requirements for participation? Where is your studio located? Will parking be provided, or is it available? What information do you expect the participant to be able to provide? Who else will be appearing on the show? Who is a host or moderator? Can a list of questions be discussed on the show be provided in advance? How far in advance will the questions be provided? Now, if that's not a fancy way of webbing and keeping the public out, this is that corporatized communication. So anyway, it sounds like we have another phone call. Caller, go ahead. Who's this?
Hi. My name is Celeste. I live in Mililani.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Hi. Pretty good, thanks. I just wanted to thank you for keeping an eye out for us, for the consumer. I had a question in particular, though, about carbon monoxide. You know, we have these, we've heard an awful lot about carbon monoxide, and how does it get in the fish, and how dangerous is it anyway, and how can we tell if it's there?
Well, thanks for asking that, Celeste. Carbon monoxide, as you know, is a major cause of death when people are trying to warm themselves on the mainland or other places from carbon monoxide poison. Uh-huh. So carbon monoxide is a deadly substance. So how on earth did anyone decide or not decide and just stand back and allow a deadly substance, a colorless, you ask how can you detect it?
Right.
It's a colorless, odorless, tasteless gas and deadly. Yet that product or that gas, is you're able to submit the fish. Now, what I've read and gathered from literature, some people describe it as simple as this. You park a car, you turn the engine on, you hook a hose to it, you put fish in a plastic bag, and you let, it's called tailpipe fish.
Oh,
now, that's just, you know, it's carbon monoxide. If many times if people are found dead after committing suicide, they've done what? Subjected themselves to carbon monoxide, the fumes, right? So how do you tell it in the store? Well, you look for very crimson rip. Beautiful crimson red coloration, and in these cases, though, it'll be masked unless you see the poke, for example, where it has not been subjected or submitted to kimchi sauce, shoyu, or other sauces or vegetables. So you really, it's difficult unless you ask.
Is the store required to tell you if it's been treated? I mean, is that the law?
Well,
tell us?
Yes, the state law requires that, but for some reason, the Department of Health is lethargic in their approach to this, and I don't know, it should be, there's maybe 100 stores and nearly 1 million citizens, but it seems that the state health department and the FDA put the store's interest first and the people's interest last. And I say that because of the manner in which they've handled these recent cases of sicknesses. Only until I, as a citizen, find out, is tipped off about the first illnesses, and when I contact the state, they deny it. But then it only comes out after I go to the media and share this with the media, then the question is asking. But like a child, they go along kicking and screaming, refusing to answer. And as I read that list of questions to you that was sent to us just to get someone on the show. And by the way, that substance, that fish, that imported fish, is still being implicated in a couple cases. One case is in Michigan that they've confirmed Paratyphi B salmonella. Another one is in Michigan, Connecticut, and of those, they reported going to Florida and eating the fish or eating sashimi. So,
my goodness. Well, not all of us can go down to the fish pier. And, I mean, I would love to go there. That's the Pier 38, I guess you said. Mm-hmm. I've never been there, but is that a way of guaranteeing that? I mean, they don't use that down there, right?
No. There is no allowances for it. There's not practice there. And so the others may not understand it. Do they use carbon monoxide at the auction? The answer is no. But again, that brings up some interesting questions and speaks to the behavior of these companies, the Foodlands, and I'll name them because in the state's traceback, in their investigation, you see someone reports they've gotten ill, and there's an effort on the state health department and the FDA's efforts to track back what they consumed, first of all, when they consumed it, when they got sick, and then they trace back, well, where did you get this product that you suspect you ate less or got sick? And they're tracing it back to, some instances, Sack and Save Foodland, which is the same ownership, Safeways, some Star Market, some, and the Naval Exchange, and on and on and on. But again, there really isn't a real effort. Now, a lot of this fish could be eliminated and screened out, but we don't have the workers at the FDA doing their job. And I've said over and over on several shows, for the taxpayers out there like yourself and even myself, you won't believe there's about 8 inspectors here for the Food and Drug Administration. They get to work out of their home. We're now paying them, there's a proposal to pay them 50 cents a mile, and they work out of their home. So they should be at the border or at the places, the import houses and what have you, sampling these fish or the fish shipments. And that would screen a lot of this. But again, you asked the question.
I don't understand how they could work at home.
Yeah, well.
They're doing inspections.
Right.
And it's not like it's a. You can't do it.
Well. You know, you backing up a bit where you ask, you mentioned some people can't go to the auction. And that is why I'm really involved in this to a great degree and motivated, is that a lot of these communities can't afford it. There's a lot of senior citizens who can't afford it or simply can't get around and not as mobile as us, you know, the people like myself. We're still able to drive and what have you. And a lot of this product is being sold in communities that really, you know, a cheap price is that's the thing of the day is, you know, you're trying to eke out a living with the expenses now that we face with gasoline and everything and housing. And so you, when you do indulge and eat this fish, you go in and you look. And if you go out to Waianae, there was a number of illnesses tracked out there. Throughout the island here. The sad part about it is this fish is being sold on the other islands, but the health department is claiming there are no illnesses on the outer islands. That's what they've claimed to me now. There may be different information.
Because if they're not reported, it's...
Yes.
No.
So is there anything else? And
no, I do appreciate your... Your answer and your detailed answer, and thank you for watching out for us. I for one, appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I thank you for calling, and again, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
Well, as you can see, there are great concerns and great many people out there, I'm sure, that are asking these questions. But here's something I was able to find out a while back. Now, this problem is not something new, and I'm still trying to get to the bottom of it, if at all possible. But starting in 2000, the United States Food and Drug Administration, the United States Customs, the National Marine Fisheries Services, and a few other agencies actually conducted an investigation of Hilo Fish and Kona Fish companies on the Big Island, questioning some of these very issues, the use of tasteless smoke, carbon monoxide, mislabeling fish, and substantial charges. There were grand jury subpoenas on this company and its workers. Believe it or not, for some reason, an investigation... Untold thousands of dollars were spent documenting, computers were seized, and this case just fizzled. And I'm hoping to find out, and I've actually filed a Freedom of Information Act on this with the Food and Drug Administration. They had promised to get us the information, but now for a year and a half, no response. So... I really like to know what took place and why didn't the U.S. attorney prosecute this and what was the rationale. And hopefully, if the U.S. attorney or the special agents out there from those agencies, give us a call and share with us what was the rationale or what was the reason. The information that we do have suggests that there was substantial information, and they gave grand jury, and they even did polygraph. I have another call on. Hello?
Hi, Mr. Carol Cox. I'm really grateful for people like you. It's about time we have somebody stepping up and helping us. And I wanted to say hello to Celeste. I haven't seen her in a long time. She used to be my neighbor. Happy Mother's Day, Celeste. You know what, Mr. Cox? You get one contact number.
Yes, ma'am.
You just gave it, and I just tuned in because I was at my other favorite radio station during your commercial. You have a contact number.
Yes, ma'am. You can contact us here at the station. 524-1080. And if you'd like to have access to the web, you can go to our website,
carolcox.com.
Carol Cox, that's C-A-R-R-O-L-L.
C-A-R-R-L-L.
Yeah.
Carol Cox. What do I do? Do I put www?
Yes, ma'am, you can do that, or it's not necessary. You can
not
just,
necessary.
But you can. www.
Carolcox.com.
Yes, ma'am. And
that's it.
Yes, ma'am. And
okay.
If you'd like to send us a blog or have something you'd like to share with us on this subject or others, please feel free.
Through the telephone or through the stuff?
Through the internet. Through the internet. Or let me give you also another number for the public out there. You can contact Carol Cox Show directly at
808-782-6627. 6627. What is that extension?
That's just a straight number. You dial that and you're more than likely to get me.
The whole number is one number.
Yes, ma'am. That was just the area code for some of those that are listening.
Oh, I see. The 1-808, yeah?
Is our area code.
782-6627.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
All right. We got another call on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you, Mike Buck conducts a tour of the fish auction every Saturday morning. He promotes a fish program on the KHVH every Sunday afternoon between 5 and 7.
Okay.
And he conducts a tour of that fish auction every Saturday morning for people who would like to go. And he gives the details on his program every Sunday.
Well, yeah, very good show, very good man. I have nothing but good to say about Mike, and just, yeah, I haven't taken a tour with him, but many times I want to go down there, but that's so early.
Yeah, it's about 6 o'clock in the morning it starts.
But it's worth it. I have actually gone down at 1 in the morning and waiting, and so I would encourage the public to go down there and join in with Mike. It's great.
He's very, very informative about the fish auction. He knows he was a fisherman himself, so he knows quite a bit about this tainted fish and all this other stuff.
Well, yeah, and I hope one day he and I sit down and share some thoughts on this, because it's really getting out there and causing us some serious heartburn. And when you have to go and sue someone to do what's right.
Right.
That just takes the cake, huh? It's really bad. So, yeah, and that was what, KHVH, you say?
KHVH, every Sunday afternoon between 5 and 7. Sometimes his shows are repeats, but most of the time they're recording Thursday and broadcast on Sunday.
All righty. Well, do you have a number so the public can call that?
Okay, well, thank you, sir.
Okay, well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All righty. I have another call. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, it's just amazing to me, that all this fish is coming out of the country. You know, that these guys that even fish locally here. on the, you know, the 28-foot boats and all that. When they bring their fish in, they cork, temperature check them and everything else, you know. Mm-hmm. Versus, do you think they do that, you know, from the other countries?
Well, I've stood alongside the boats down in Palau and the other island nations there, and I saw no thermometers, and I saw conditions that the guys were eating rice and leftover aku bones. And I mean, the rice was, the condition was just horrible. So this is the way I look at it. If you treat your workers like that, and if they have to sit down and eat and the flies flying around, and by the way, while they're sitting there eating, here's tubs of tuna destined for Hawaii here, sitting there and baking in the sun and becoming discolored. So, yeah, I didn't see anybody down there checking, and then I did get an occasion, have the occasion to actually go inside the ice house. The key to all of this is ice, right? You need something to chill this fish down immediately because these are scombroids, or like tunas, mackerel, jacks, and mahi-mahi. And if you don't do that, histamines can be a problem. So you're right.
And even just the containers that they hold them in, you know. I mean, I'm sure they check all these guys' fish holes and everything just to check and see if they're made out of the right materials and everything, yeah?
Right. If you take, for example, lead paint can be a problem. The way some of this fish that I observed down there just laying out, I mean, what about lead paint, cleaner foods? What if that container was used to haul other substances or powders or what have you? It raises some serious issues as far as cleanliness. But the bigger problem and the crux of this problem is this. Our agencies are not doing their job. The agencies are the Department of Health, our State Department of Health, and the United States Food and Drug Administration simply not doing their job. And they should beef up the enforcement and the inspections. Most of the inspections here go ahead and proceed. No physical inspection.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I mean, to me, I can see these guys are paying, they're probably paying $3.70 for fuel, and the price of fish really hasn't gone up much in the last 20 years, yeah?
Right. Price of fuel, you mean locally here, right?
Yeah, I think the commercial guys are paying $3.60 for diesel now or something like that. But I know that the price of fish hasn't gone up, you know, like the price of the fuel.
Well, I'm hoping that just get the occasion to sit down and talk to a fisherman, a couple of local fishermen here, just to ask them to let me see their costs before they leave the dockside to go out and fish. I wouldn't do it personally. I would abandon the business because there is absolutely no way that I would put anything in a boat at this time of day and go out taking a chance at fishing, knowing that the back door is open where fish can come in at lower grade, inferior quality, cheaper. They are not paying their workers. You know, if fish can come in here and be sold, if the fishermen here are getting $2.50 a pound and that's all they can get. How much are they paying the workers down? How much is it costing in Palau and what have you to fish? How can they afford to fish, pay the workers, pay the fuel, put it on an airplane, fly it here, and then undersell it some nearly 50% less?
Even just to process the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But the bigger issue is it's displacing. It's almost like the outsourcing reverse now of jobs. They're bringing the jobs to us, just sending the product of those jobs. They're keeping the jobs down there, underpaying them and what have you, and not adhering to the environmental rules. Observers up here, the observers have to be on the boat and on and on.
Yeah, it's pretty, I can't, it's a tough game to play now. It's getting worse and worse with all the restrictions and the closed areas and the...
Yeah. Closed areas, in my history of and knowledge and background in natural resources management and enforcement, what I can tell you, and sometimes they do work, depending on the circumstance, but it must be well thought out. And it can't be a knee-jerk reaction to... You should look at all aspects of this. When you have a closure season, the biggest concern I have right now in this case is, okay, we've closed the Northwest Hawaiian Island. Now, this is not teaching the fishermen how to break the law, but it must be a reality, and we must acknowledge this. You close the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, you close the main Hawaiian Islands to bottom fishing. How do you regulate that? You say you can't possess, but what if a person were to cut that fish up and fillet it? How do you identify that? You'd have to go to electrophoresis and have the flesh sample, right?
Well, I know in I'm pretty sure in California now. I haven't been back there in a long time, but I just from reading now, when you fillet fish, you have to leave a piece of the skin on there.
Right. Fin and because the means of identifying. But the problem here is I'm not objecting to the rules. It's just that I believe in my professional background in history and enforcement and natural resources, none of this will work. Someone rushed out and set up the rules to close the area without putting the necessary elements in place and ensuring that the DLNR does not have a boat. I have not yet seen $1 allocated by legislators to get a working platform where DLNR now, not Big Brother, not the Coast Guard, not National Marine Fisheries Service, where DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, has a boat, having the capacity to carry enforcement officers to stay offshore 3 to 7 days or longer to enforce these rules that they're placing. And keep in mind now, the Northwest Hawaiian Island still falls within the state of Hawaii and is still the jurisdiction of the state and some of the city areas too, right?
Correct.
So, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have had those rules, but I believe looking at everything else. Right now, I just took pictures Friday of shark fin, container loads of shark fins at a facility being processed. I'm told they're bringing 2 container loads in per week at least. How is that happening?
Through Hawaii.
Right here. I can go down now. I just took pictures the other day.
And if they catch a fisherman with those things on their boats, they hang them to death.
They hang them.
Yeah. And then it's like the lady that called earlier said, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander. I mean, you got these other countries with no rules and regulations, and they're shipping that stuff in here.
Well, I hope that everybody out there join in and start asking the heavy question. We do need to protect our natural resources. I'm going to be the first to lead that challenge. But it must be fair, it must be practical, and it must be doable. It can't be just to get a political flavor or favor and then run out and say, we got it and successfully closed it. But it's not going to work. You get caught with the opaka-paka that you filleted out. There's no protection because there's nobody here that can afford to even sample or test that fish. So what are you doing? Well, I appreciate your time and giving
thank
us a call.
Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate your show.
All righty. I have another caller online now.
Oh, I just wondered if the public has any way of knowing, are these fish labeled that has a carbon monoxide and from outside Hawaii? I mean, is there any way we can tell?
Right now, the only thing that we are able to do is go in and hope that the stores have a sign that say previously frozen, treated with carbon monoxide. That concludes our show. And I'm sorry to have to go. If you'd like to call us back, time has run out. But I appreciate all of you calling in. And please join us next week on the Carol Cox Show at 524-1080.